we present Thank You, Mrs. Fothergill.
Ladies, ladies, please, if I could have your attention, thank you. We've had apologies from Madam President for tonight. Unable to attend owing to a minor disorder. Frankly, I wouldn't have thought Mrs. Scott Henderson had enough left internally to become disordered. I mean, the way she told me, that last operation removed several things that are normally vital to survival. I should have announced at the beginning of this month's meeting that plans are now well advanced for the Guild's annual Grand Supper Dance. We've been unable to secure the services of the Ideal Trio this year, but Madam Secretary has booked...
Who have you booked, Phyllis?
The Donny Hilton Big Band.
Did you say something, Mrs. Fothergill?
I said, Madam Chairman, big band indeed. There's only four of them. Donald Hilton, there Mildred on drums.
Four? I was assured there were five.
Oh, there Wilfred sits there waving that trumpet about. But he hasn't had any wind worth speaking of for years.
And how much are we paying for Clothbottom's answer to Glen Miller?
£14 and their suppers. £15 if we want Wilfred to do cabaret.
Cabaret?
Playing the spoons.
Oh. I thought we were going to have a proper turn or two. Somebody like Bernard Manning.
Oh. Mrs. Fothergill, I really don't think Bernard Manning would be suitable for a ladies' guild function.
Ah, you've heard of him, have you? Hey, the last time we saw him, he told this one about a fella with a sheep.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Fothergill. Yes, thank you. Not whilst there's a formal meeting still in progress, if you don't mind. Now, ladies, it only remains for me to thank you once again for attending and to remind you that next month we shall be welcoming a very special guest to our meeting. No less a person than the national president of our organisation, the Duchess of Danborough.
Oh!
Yes, yes indeed, a singular honour. Her Grace will be taking wine with the committee at the home of Madam President, Mrs. Scott Henderson, and will be joining us here in the hall at our monthly meeting afterwards. So, with that, I will close the formal agenda as I hear the welcome tinkle of teacups from the kitchen. Madam Secretary, would you mind just leaning across and giving old Mrs. Bassett a nudge? Just make sure she is only asleep. Oh, come in, Phyllis. We've got a problem.
You know, you shouldn't just open the door like that. You never know who it might be these days. I might have been a rapist.
In a woolly cardi and a headscarf.
I don't open the door to anybody unless he identifies himself. Not even the milkman.
But he's your cousin Sheila's boy.
I still don't let him in until he's identified himself.
Oh. Go on, go in the front room. Mrs. Fothergill's in there already.
Morning, Phyllis.
Oh, good morning, Mrs. Fothergill. Quite warm for the time of year, isn't it?
Phyllis, we've got a problem.
Oh, dear.
Now, if I said to you, regarding the visit of the Duchess of Danborough, I've just had a message from Madam President, what would you say?
She's going to be away.
Again. A short period of convalescence, she says, recommended by my personal physician.
Personal physician?
I know. Why Dr. Bhattacharjee should be our doctor, but her personal physician, I don't know.
It just so happens that Mr. Scott Henderson is going to a conference on sewage in Bournemouth, so she's just so happening to go with him.
She hasn't been well, you know.
If she's still having problems of that sort at her age, she ought to be in the Guinness Book of Records.
Anyway, with her being away, we'll have to have the reception here.
Here?
Well, you needn't say it like that. I may not live in a ranch-style split level with a Victorian street lamp in the garden and a mortgage that'll blow the top off a pressure cooker.
No, no, no. All I meant was that Mrs. Scott Henderson's through lounge is very big, and this, well, isn't.
It might be big, but it's never very warm. I mean, for all her airs and graces, she can't afford to turn that central heating up.
Temporary fault with the thermostat, she said.
Oh, she's been saying that since 1973. I'll grant you this, Alice. Your taste might be a bit Sandringham for most folk, but you do keep a good fire going. And your chairs are a proper height. You don't risk putting your back out or indecently exposing yourself every time you sit down.
Thank you, Mrs. Fothergill. Is it all right with you, Arthur, about you having the reception here?
Have you noticed anything different about this room?
Well,
Anything missing?
Missing? No, I don't think so.
Arthur. Arthur's missing. Now, you know as well as I do that this time on a Saturday afternoon, the chairman and founder member of the Bring Back Hanging for Jimmy Hill Club is usually slumped in that chair, covered in cigarette ash and hurling obscenities at the world of sport. Well, he's gone out. Oh. And I mean out of the house, not out of the room, for a walk.
Walk? You were Arthur?
Yes. He says it's all part of a Get Fit campaign. He frightened the living daylights out of me the other evening. I was in the kitchen making a bit of mint cake for our Malcolm when I heard these funny noises from upstairs. I went up and there's Arthur doing press-ups in the bathroom. I thought he was having some sort of attack. I was halfway downstairs trying to remember Dr. Bhattacharjee's number when he stopped me. Then last Saturday he went to flash it.
Pan.
Flash it! That little boutique where Al Malcolm gets his clothes.
I always think your Malcolm looks very with it.
Yes, maybe, but we've got to face the fact, Phyllis, love, that Arthur's been more or less without it for years. Well, he comes home, squeezes himself into these white trousers.
White?
Exactly. Then this see-through shirt. Orange.
Orange?
Yes, with bishop sleeves. Oh. And those shoes that look like Cornish pasties. Then he says, can I get away with this? And our Malcolm says, very nearly, and bursts out laughing. Then Arthur says, just a fraction off the waistline and I'll be a new man. And takes up jogging.
Oh. Jogging? You mean in park?
Well, no, up and down the landing. You've never heard such a crashing and banging. Goes right through you. I tell you, Dr. Bhattacharjee's had to put me back on those green and black ones. Oh, it's him. Arthur. Arthur, we're in the front... the lounge.
Hi there, kids.
Hi there.
Kids?
Oh, I think he must have been to get something from Dr. Bhattacharjee as well. And there's another thing. He's been rooting about in the attic, sorting out a lot of music he had when he used to play the piano. Oh, no. He's at it again, jogging. What time is it, Phyllis?
Just gone 2:15.
Oh, if that train's on time, her Grace will have arrived by now. If she gets a taxi straight away, she'll be here.
She's not coming in a taxi. Mrs. Fothergill said she'd arrange transport.
Oh, no! As far as I know, the only transport Mrs. Fothergill can arrange is her Peter's bread van.
It's all right. Mrs. Fothergill said she'd sit in the back.
Oh.
Alice?
Hmm?
I like your hair.
Oh, thank you.
It's an unusual colour, isn't it? Same colour as Mrs. Scott Henderson's.
You know, you really have a marvellous capacity for putting your foot in it. I'm surprised President Carter hasn't signed you up to help Andrew Young with his diplomacy.
Oh, Alice, I like your cups and saucers. I've seen some just like that at Mrs. Scott Henderson's.
Yes, you've just earned yourself a bonus point.
I am sorry, but you see, they are like
her. All right, I've borrowed them.
Ah. Hey, where's Arthur? Is he out jogging?
No, he's upstairs in the bedroom, locked in the bedroom, and Malcolm has the key, and strict instructions not to let him out for anything. Oh. Well, he'd only lower the tone. Now, what do you think of the room?
Oh, very nice. You've borrowed her hearth rug.
That's right.
And how long have you had a grand piano?
Well, she can't play it while she's in Bournemouth, can she? Oh, yeah, and if you're wondering about the mink stole draped casually across it...
I recognise
it. Oh, I had a terrible job parting her from it. She was determined to take it with her, so I told her I'd heard Patterson's were going to Bournemouth. And you know, Connie Patterson's got a full-length mink and a sable, and she'd never so much as go to the laundrette without one on and one over the arm. That did it.
But Connie Patterson's not in Bournemouth. I saw her coming out of Kevin A. Paul's not an hour ago.
I know Connie Patterson's not in Bournemouth. You know she isn't. Connie Patterson knows Connie Patterson isn't in Bournemouth. But Gertrude Scott Henderson doesn't. And that's what's important. then.
Oh, are you supposed to curtsy? I'm sure you're supposed to curtsy. I read it once.
Get out of the way, Phyllis.
It's all right, Alice. I'll go.
Oh, no! Arthur, he's got out. Oh, no, I must stop him.
I think it's once when you meet them, then you have to curtsy again the second.
Phyllis, get out of the way. Arthur, come away from that door this minute.
Tilly Bostock.
Arthur Foster. After all these years.
Afternoon.
You haven't changed a bit. Come on in. This is my wife, Alice, her friend, Mrs. Middleton. Stop curtsying, Phyllis. And, of course, you've met Mrs. Fothergill already. This way, Tilly. Oh, it's your grace now, isn't it? I think you'll find the lounge comfortable. Alice, I think tea's called for. Just give us time for a drink. A gin and tonic, wasn't it? Lemon and no ice?
Fancy you remembering.
How could I forget? Don't hurry with the tea, Alice.
Tilly? Gin? What the ditch?
Oh, you have gone flushed, Alice.
And what has your Arthur got on?
Flash it.
He nearly did.
Will that kettle never boil? Phyllis, keep your ear to that wall. I want to know every word that's said.
I'm trying to hear, but it's just sort of muttering and a laugh every now and again.
Laugh? Who's laughing?
They both are.
Oh.
Sort of giggling.
Oh. What did he mean? You haven't changed a bit.
I don't know.
And Tilly? Why Tilly?
Ah, well, that I do know. She were on stage before she was married, called herself Tilly Bostock. She were one of Mr. Cochrane's young ladies.
Oh. Your Arthur really is a surprising person. I'd no idea he had a past.
It's his future you need to worry about. From look on Alice's face.
Deep in my heart, dear, I have a
here! Who's that singing?
Well, unless you've got another fella in there, it must be your Arthur.
Oh! No.
Deep in my heart, dear, I have a dream of you. Passions of starlight, perfumes of roses and dew.
Ah, the student prince.
Remember Heidelberg?
How could I forget? The castle in the moonlight.
That funny little cafe, the table in the corner, the students singing.
What was it they used to sing? Oh, yes. Come, boys, let's all be gay boys.
Meant something different in those days, of course. Remember Ulrich?
Ulrich?
The cafe proprietor.
Ah, yes, Ulrich. There really were passions of starlight. And perfumes of roses and dew. And you looked so handsome in your uniform.
Air Force Blue Serge.
To me, you were always a dashing young hussar.
You wore a gown of gold.
I was all in blue.
I remember it well.
Do you remember Otto?
Otto?
Had a little inn in the old town. Insisted we had the honeymoon suite.
Tilly.
You really were a very naughty boy.
Tilly.
I'd had far too much Lee Promish.
You're overdoing it.
Well, I thought that was the whole idea. Make Alice appreciate you more.
Well, that's right, but I...
You said in your letter...
I know, but you are overdoing it.
Look, you're not serious about Alice having her ear glued to the wall.
Absolutely serious. Although, knowing Alice, she'll have Phyllis's ear glued to that wall.
Being overheard was all part of the plan.
Well, it is, but don't forget I have to live here after you've gone.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
And married to Alice, so don't overdo it.
Very well. But you were still a very naughty boy.
You've kept your figure, darling.
Oh, I like to keep in trim. And I wasn't all that naughty.
It depends what you're used to, darling. You still have those magnificent shoulders. And I rang to your Vera. Well, you know, darling, Lynn. When I got back, and I said, I've just met this sensational fighter pilot.
Flight mechanic. Dear Vera, and now she's a dame.
Yes, darling. but not a duchess. And you still look so like dear Ivor.
Olive Gilbert always used to think so.
No. And now who's overdoing it?
So did Vanessa Lee.
Oh, play something. Play something quick.
Very well. Remember Baden Baden?
My dearest dear, if I could say to you in words as clear as when I play to you.
Arthur, how could you?
I'll make the tea.
You'll not. You'll keep your ear glued to that wall.
Be careful with that kettle, Alice. You'll scald yourself. Your hand's shaking.
So would your hand shake, Mrs. Fothergill, if your world had just crashed about your ears.
Crashed about? Now, you listen to me, Madam Chairman Alice Chadbit that was. There's no need for all this Joan Crawford stuff just because you've been thwarted.
Then what?
Thwarted by your Arthur in there.
What are you talking about? I don't know what you mean.
Oh, yes, you do. It's a well-known fact. One you've always chosen to forget, Madam Chairman, that your Arthur was very talented at one time. And for all your talk about him being a fighter pilot, he was in a concert party when he was in the RAF, and Tilly Bostock used to go round entertaining troops. I expect that's how they met.
Oh, of course.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
Nothing. What can I do? She's so much more glamorous and grand than me, and a duchess to boot. I can't compete with that.
Well, that's nice, isn't it, Phyllis?
Yes. What is?
That. Our chairman saying she's not as good as young chorus girl. Nice compliment to us, that.
What do you mean?
Listen to me, Madam Chairman. All she had to do to get her title was wiggle her bottom at some chinless wonder. Anyone could be a duchess, even Phyllis.
Well, I don't know.
Whereas you were voted chairman by us. And I don't vote for everyone, least of all you. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. Now, what do you say?
Thank you, Mrs. Fothergill. You're right.
Look, Alice, you and me over the years have had many a set to, and I've enjoyed every one of them almost as much as you have. But when fellas start stepping out of line, that's a different thing altogether, and I don't like it. You're not going to let yourself be beaten by a daft fella in pants that'll put him in hospital if he doesn't watch yourself going upstairs. You that can quell a room full of rebellious women with a ladies please and one of your looks. Now, your Arthur sitting in that front room, holding his stomach in, congratulating himself that he's put one over on you. And if I'm any judge, she's sitting there with her back to the light so he can't see her necks going. So, go on.
Go on what?
Go and show her what you're made of.
Yes, Alice. Give her your Bette Davis.
Oh.
Oh, no, I can't.
Don't argue. Hey, I'm going to enjoy this. Right. You go in front, Alice, with that teapot. I'll go in the middle, and Phyllis can bring up rear. Ready?
Ready. Ready, Phyllis?
Yes. Oh, Alice.
Yes?
All for one and one for all.
Shh, they're coming.
Right.
I remember I told Noel all about you. Well, almost all. And he made some witty remark.
Well, here we are then. Hope you haven't been too bored. Undo your trousers if they're tight, Arthur. Tilly won't mind, I'm sure. He does get wind, you know. Yeah, it makes him so bad-tempered.
Arthur tells me you have a son.
That's right, I have.
We have.
What was that, Arthur?
Nothing.
I'm sure you'll find we're a very happy group here, Your Grace.
Tilly, please.
Doesn't seem right for a duchess to be called Tilly, does it, still? I'm sure you'll find that the Clothbottom Ladies' Evening Guild are a very enthusiastic group.
I'm glad. Some of the groups, horrendous. And there's one, better not say where, darling. Their chairman, like a cross between Queen Victoria and Attila the Hun.
I know what you mean.
Positively browbeats the poor little secretary.
Really? Mm. Tea?
Thank you.
Sugar?
Two, please.
Not watching your figure, then.
Luckily, I don't have to, darling.
Oh, I see.
Oh, you must have met a lot of interesting people when you were a chorus girl.
I was a Cochrane young lady.
Silly of me. I'm quite an aficionado of the history of the musical theatre, you know. I listen to all those programmes they do on Radio 2. All Our Yesterdays, These You Have Loved, The Immortal Stars, and so on. They haven't done you, have they?
Thank you, Phyllis.
Do you know Anna Neagle?
Naturally.
They did her on The Immortal Stars.
Yes, thank you, Mrs. Fothergill.
You know, you're a dark horse, Arthur Foster. You never told us you knew anybody like Tilly Bostock.
Nobody ever asked me.
That I can well imagine.
You know, I think I saw one of your films the other week. They revived it on television. It was in that series Great Films of the 1930s.
50s, darling.
Yeah, well, I know it was only in black and white.
Oh, they don't make films like that anymore.
No, they don't. They'd never get away with it. I think you sang in it.
I did.
You never made another film after that, did you?
I didn't need to. I met His Grace.
Yeah, that was lucky.
I'm surprised you didn't keep up your singing, Alice.
Oh, no, Mrs. Fothergill, love. I mean, as you get older. Well, you have to know when you're past your best, don't you, Tilly?
You do, darling. You do indeed.
Alice?
What is it for Arthur?
Nothing.
Why don't you give us a tune, Arthur?
Well, I don't think...
Oh, do, darling. I'll see you again. Reminds me of that little cafe in Osnabrück. The candlelight, the wine, that funny little organ. If I were you, Arthur, love, I'd make it home sweet home. Because from the look on your Alice's face, you'll not be playing it again for quite some time. And in conclusion, ladies, if I may, I'd like to end on a personal note. Visiting you here in Clough has been a particular pleasure for me. I have been able to renew an acquaintance with a very dear friend, with whom I share many happy memories of days gone by. Someone who has made the name of Foster respected and admired throughout the county. I refer, of course, to Madam Chairman's husband, Arthur.
Hey, look at Alice, Phyllis. She's gone puce.
And I'm sure that Ada, here, will agree that through the years, the many years, his strength has been a comfort to her. And I'm sure that she, Ada, has drawn much of her inspiration from that talented and powerful figure. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes, thank you, Madam National President. I know that your visit revived memories for my husband, too, of the dark days of the war, when we were grateful for any comfort we could find. Some of you may remember Her Grace when she was on the stage. I myself recall quite clearly being taken by an aunt to see you. It was a panto, and you sang a song dressed up as a squirrel. Oh, funny what we laughed at in those days, wasn't it?
You've got to hand it to her, Phyllis. Game, set and match in one speech.
Now, I know Her Grace has a car waiting, and I've got a feeling that if the driver spends much more time in the Royal Oak, we may never see her again. And that would be a pity, wouldn't it? I'm sure you'll be interested to know, ladies, that Her Grace is spending the night at Knowsley Hall. You know, where the safari park is. Oh, and I've just remembered, it wasn't a squirrel. It was a duck.
I should have said, game, set, match, net, rackets and balls.
You know, Mrs. Fothergill, when she really tries, Alice can leave you standing.
Aye, and Attila the Hun. Hey!
Yes, Mrs. Fothergill.
With a bit of a presentation, like flowers for Tilly, Her Grace.
Oh, really? That's a surprise. I'd no idea you got flowers.
They're from Arthur. Tilly, with his love.
Arthur? Oh, they were old friend ladies. He used to play with for her when he was in the Rath on the piano.
Do thank him for me, won't you? I'll do that.
So will I.
Well, I really must go. And Arthur sent this little note for you, Alice. Here you are.
Note?
What beautiful flowers. So charming of him. Thank you all so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
What does it say, Alice?
Well, he's asked me to go and have supper with him by candlelight. Oh! At the Royal Oak, in private. Oh, imagine.
Oh, Alice, and after you said you were going to divorce him. You see, it turned out all right in the end, didn't it, Mrs. Fothergill?
It might, yet.
Yet?
Hey, I'd like to see your Arthur's face when you walk in.
Why?
That note. It was supposed to go with the flowers to Tilly Buster.
No!
Anyway, you don't need us this time. You know what to do, don't you?
I do indeed. And thank you, Mrs. Fothergill.
That was Thank You, Mrs. Fothergill by Keith Parry. Sheila Hancock played Alice Foster, Pat Coombs played Phyllis Middleton, and Mrs. Fothergill was played by Avis Bunnage. Our guests were Peter Jones as Arthur Foster and Kathleen Helm as Tilly, Duchess of Darnborough. The programme was produced by Bob Oliver Rogers.